sir. Well, Pastor Claudio is here. If you can stand up. I mean, stand up. Claudio is a great friend. I would say a big friend, but as you saw, he's not that big. But he's been a friend for over a decade, for almost 15 years, in which God made our path cross. And he's been pastor for me and for my family for quite a long time. I praise the Lord for his life. That's very good to have him and his family here with us. If you would open your Bibles this evening in the first book of Peter, 1 Peter, Pastor Blizzard made my life a little easier yesterday when he asked me to preach the same message I preached a couple days ago at the camp, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Of course, here we'll have some different applications and different approach. If you can open in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I will begin the reading in verse 13 so we can understand the context, but we will focus the main points in verse 15. Thus saith the word of God. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Verse 15. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope you have that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having good conscience, so that when you were slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. To hear the reading of God's words. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together here once again. We are thankful for the privilege, amazing privilege that sometimes we take for granted. This year, our first day of the year is actually the Lord's Day. So we can gather ourselves together around your name, with your people to honor, to glorify, to praise your name. And we are thankful, Lord, because that is indeed an amazing day. A day in which we remind ourselves of your life, of your death, and mostly of your resurrection, when you were victorious from our last enemy, named the death itself. And we pray, Lord, as we are being prepared to live in this world, that you can be with us this evening. We pray that all the barriers that could be against the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word can be put aside, that you can gather and unite our hearts here this evening to listen to your voice. And please, Lord, we plead with you, speak to us. Speak to us. That's what we need. We need to hear your beautiful and sweet voice. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we understand the context in which the Apostle Peter wrote this letter, this epistle to the people that were scattered in many different regions and places. He named these places in chapter 1, verse 1. While he was writing that these very words, those people were suffering. It was not an easy task for them to hear or to listen to these words, because what we call suffering, what we call in our days being harmed or being slandered or suffering for whatever reason it is, cannot be compared with what was happening with the people of God at that time. If you remember, in Acts chapter 7 and 8, we have the beginning of a great persecution in Jerusalem. So those people, those Christians that were there in Jerusalem, they had to flee. They had to leave their houses behind, to leave their many of them leave families behind, because they believed in Jesus Christ. And the fact that they believed in Jesus Christ brought, and Stephen was there to be a proof of that, brought a great persecution to the church. So instead of just being there in Jerusalem with a growing church, with being very well-being in that church, God sent that persecution so the gospel could go and gain the world. That was a purpose of God. So suffering is a purpose of God, so that the gospel could not only go to that region, but even come to us, as we live our lives around the gospel today. Now, this suffering was very clear in the mind of Peter. If you see verse 1, chapter 6, you read this: "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." So Peter was aware of that. He was aware that they were not living an easy life. It was very hard for them to be courageous and to say that they were Christians, because of the kind of persecution that was there in those days. In the verses that we just read, in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." So even though that they were righteous, and let's put that in the right place, they were not righteous because everything they did were righteous things, but they were justified by God. They were a people that, not because of them, but because of what Jesus Christ did in their behalf, now they were able to do good deeds, which nobody was before. Nobody's able to do any good before knowing Christ. But now they knew Christ. And even though they did good things, and some of them we are going to see in a little bit, they were suffering for that very righteousness that they were doing. For the very fact that they were doing righteous things, people were persecuting them. And you know what? That happens today as well. If you go to the market, if you go to works and to schools and to places out there, sometimes you will have to to suffer, because you won't do the same things that people want you to do. Some wrong things that everybody thinks it's normal, people will want you to do these things, and you will refuse it, and you are going to suffer the persecution for that. You are going to suffer the consequences of holding to your beliefs. And then in verse 17, "For it is better to suffer for doing what is good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." So some things that they needed to hear. Oh yes, they were suffering. Yes, it was not easy. It was hard for them. But God was in control. That's not only that God knew everything. And that should comfort us, know that God knows all things. But it's even more than that. There was a reason behind that suffering. God wanted something greater than simply putting them to suffer. Not only the spread of the gospel itself, but even to strengthen the faith of his people. There are many reasons for suffering. God uses those things for his own glory. But not only they were suffering, they needed to be submissive to very bad people. If you see chapters 2 and 3, you are going to see that they were under the... I mean, today, we can complain about our governments. And if we see the news, if you read some of the things, we are right to complain about some of the things that are going on, that are taking place. However, it's not to be compared with the Roman Empire. It's not to be compared with the tyranny of those men. They were horrible. And as suffering Christians living under the wrath and the harm of the Roman Empire, how should they behave? And Peter tells them in chapter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. They were supposed to do that. And then Peter goes on to say that many times that was not the case. But even so, respect them. As Paul would say somewhere else, pray for them. Support them. They are the leaders. However bad they are, however evil they are, God placed them over you. Be submissive to them. Is it something easy to hear? It is something that it is in the agenda of our days, of the churches, even of our own agenda. No, we don't want to hear these things. But God has the emperors and the kings in control. When he is writing about what is going to happen with Israel by the Babylonians, by the Chaldeans, by the Syrians, by the Persians, he's saying, before it happens, I have this man in my hand. They will do whatever I'm telling them to do. I have their hearts. And as people of God that sometimes suffer because of this man in power, we are told, and the people of God are receiving a letter by the Apostle Peter saying, you need to be submissive and supportive to them. Now, there are many things that could be said, but Peter goes on and say, you know what? You are not only under very bad emperors or very bad government. You are also, because of this persecution, being enslaved. You are you have now masters that put you to work as slaves. If you want to live, if you want to eat something, you need to be submissive to these things. You need to accept these things. And how should you look to these masters? How should you look to these men, to this man that rule over you? Chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject, same word, to your masters with all respect. And listen to this, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. Now you can be saying, well, I think Peter is out of mind here. But I would suppose that you would never say that about the scripture. We are talking about the Word of God. If that's not what you are hearing out there, if this is not what you are hearing from the pulpits, if that's not what you are hearing from the books and from the news that you are reading, it doesn't matter. That's what the Word of God tells you. Is it easy? No, it's not. We're being told by the Apostle Peter, he's drawing to us what Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter the narrow gate. I'm not talking about an easy gospel. A gospel that promises you everything that you want to hear, everything that you want to listen, because God is somehow put as a genie of the lamp. You are going to be his master. You are going to tell God what to do. You are going to rule. You are going to have a sovereign being, an all-powerful being, to do your will, to do your own will. That is what the gospel out there is being, the false gospel is being preached. But the gospel of the Bible, the gospel of Christ tells you that you were to be obeying whatever, whatsoever this word of truth tells you. And many times, as the things that the Apostle Peter is saying here, they are not talking about easy things. It's very hard because it feels unjust. It feels unfair. And you know what? It can be humanly unfair. But because we are not thinking spiritually. If you and I start to think spiritually, we are going to realize the reality of what we deserve. And the reality that we deserve is not only bad masters and bad leaders and bad emperors over us, but we deserve, because we are sinners, hell, death, condemnation. Any bad thing that happens to us, even for a whole life, is not enough for us to be thankful that we are not going to receive the eternal punishment and judgment of God that we deserve. And if you're a woman, Peter goes on to say, do you know what? Some of you women are not only under the Roman Empire, and not only under horrible masters, but you have terrible husbands. And how should you, woman, behave when that happens? And then he goes on to chapter 3, verse 1, and say, likewise, the same thing that I said before, he's going to use the very same word, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. I cannot go into all of the details of this text here, but I can tell you this. It's not easy to be a Christian. When Jesus said that there is a narrow gate and a narrow way, he was being serious. He was not playing with words. He was not there just making a beautiful discourse, a beautiful speech. No, he was speaking the truth. And if the gospel you are living today is an easy gospel, you need to repent. If the gospel you are living today is a gospel that everything is acceptable, everything is fine, you need to live the way you want to because your heart tells you to. I'm telling you, you need conversion. You need to understand the suffering of Jesus Christ on that cross as a pattern for your life. Do you want to follow me, says Jesus? Deny yourself. Carry your cross and then follow me. Now, humanly speaking, is it fair? You may ask. Is it the pattern to our society? Am I, as somebody, as a family, living in the 21st century? We are now in the first day of 2017. Are these words good for today? Aren't they old? Aren't they for another society, for another kind of people? And Peter goes on to say, no, I'm talking to the Christianity after this day, the day he wrote. And I'm telling you that you should understand by verse 15 that not only that, but you need to be ready to do two things. You need to be ready to defend the truth regardless of circumstances. You have a book. You have a Savior. You have a God. You have a Christ. And regardless of the circumstances in your life, regardless of what is happening, of what is hurting, of the things that you need to bear, regardless of all of that, you need to not only say with your words, but think in your heart and make all the efforts so that everybody can know one thing. Regardless of all the circumstances, you believe that this is the truth of God and you live by it happily. Because if you lose everything in your life, but you have Christ, you have everything you need. Are you ready to defend your faith regardless of any circumstances? Then, verse 15 also will tell us that not only we need to defend our faith, but we need to behave ourselves. We need to watch our behavior while we do it, because we need to do it with gentleness, not with arrogance, but with gentleness, respect, and fear. We are not talking about how people are going to live the rest of their lives. The people that you met in 2016, the people that went by and through your ways in 2016, and that did not hear about Christ, about salvation from you, they're going to somehow cry out in the day of judgment, because you have lost and missed many opportunities in that year. And now we have another year ahead of us in which many people are going to cross our ways, to cross our path. Are they going to see Jesus in us? Are they going to see that we do not only say that we are Christians, go to a specific building called church, but we truly believe in this? That it is also and actually the very thing that motivates our deeds, our thoughts, our words. It is the most important things in our lives. There is nothing, no family member, no promotion in work, absolutely nothing in this earth that is worth to be compared with the love we have for Jesus Christ. But these very two things, two important things, needs to be held together. It is possible, brothers. It is possible that we are great defenders of the faith and of the truth, but we are regardless of the hearts of men and of the souls of men. We defend the truth for the sake of defending the truth. We want to be the great winners of debates. We want to be the great apologists. We want our name to be put somewhere so that people can know, well, if you have any doubt, theological doubt, go to that man because he's going to answer to you. God does not call you to be a theologian. But he calls you to defend the faith. Even as was reminded for us this morning, even that blind man did, without knowing the answers. Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. No matter, I mean, you are the Pharisees, you are the men, you are the Sanhedrin, you are the guys that can put me in jail for that, but I cannot deny that yesterday I couldn't, but now I can see your face and your eyes. It's different. Put me in jail. Send me to death. However, Peter gives us here great incentives for us to embrace this task. Because he reminds us of who we are. We are not from here, you know. When he gives that those names in chapter 1, verse 1, he's saying, well, you are from all over the place. You are like pilgrims. This is not our land. You know what? There is one thing that I love about Americans. They love their country. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. But all of us need to understand one thing. Even though there are promises that America is going to be great again, even though there are promises and ideas and even expectations that this great land is going to be again what it ever was, let me remind you, people of God, this is not our final land. We are here, but for a short period of time. And the Apostle Peter reminds us that, in chapter 1, verse 17. Look what he says here, if I can read. And if you can, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, look at this, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. We are in exile here. And he explains that even more fully in chapter 2, verse 11. Behold, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wages war against your soul. If you are Americans, if you are Brazilians, wherever you come from, wherever you are, wherever you put your tents, you are here for a short period of time. And you should live in this place just like our father Abraham did. He had the promises of a promised land. He had the whole the promises of a huge amount of land. But Hebrews 11 tells us that he was just like a passenger, just like a pilgrim, living in tents with his offspring because he believed in a city in which God is the architect. He believes in a place and in a city that is not made by man. And that is our hope, brothers and sisters. We are facing that day. We are living here, looking and longing and waiting eagerly for that day in which all our tears are going to be put aside. He is going to dry out them. He is going to receive us in His place, in His home in heaven, with open arms. And we are going to live forever with Him, with joy and gladness and without sin and without sadness or anything. He promised us so. That is the way we should live in this present evil age. See, when the first people that read these letters here by the Apostle Peter read these things, can you imagine how great it was for their heart? The suffering was real. The pain was real. But they knew it was for a short period of time. They knew it was for a short period of time. And in all of this, they needed to behave well. They needed to be witnesses of the truth. And it brings us, first of all, for us to understand that you are here to defend the truth. And I ask you not to worry, because the introduction is bigger than the message. You are here to defend the truth. Of course, we don't want to deny by the whole of Scripture that the main purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We cannot deny the fact that the reason you are here is not because everything needs to be according to your will and to your way, but you were put here so that you can honor and glorify the name of the Lord. And how do you do so? Well, you do that by obeying His commandments. And His commandments were very clear. When He was going up to heaven, when He was leaving this earth, the very last words that He had to His church for you and me was that you should preach the gospel. You know, we do a lot of things. Oh, very nice things. We fish, we hunt, we go shooting, we barbecue. Well, there is a lot of good things that we can do while we are here. There is no problem in doing these things, in enjoying ourselves here. However, we need to understand to put these things in the right place. They are not the most important things in our lives. We don't live for those things. If for some kindness of God He allows us to have these things, praise the Lord for that. But even those things can be used to a greater thing. Can you imagine doing all these things, not only for the glory of God, but for redemptive purposes? Can you imagine the Church of Lakeland, Bible Presbyterian Church of Lakeland, each one of you, can you imagine if you put in your heart that God wants you to be a witness of Christ wherever you are, can you imagine how packed out this place is going to be by the end of this year? If we as Christians quit being sloth, quit being lazy, quit being simple, afraid of things, of people, loving too much ourselves and the things of this world, can you imagine the impact that this crew right here can have to this very city? That's what the gospel is all about. We are not living here to build our own names. We are here to build the name of Jesus Christ. We are here to defend the faith. Chapter 3, verse 15. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that there is in you. Present the gospel. Apologia, that's the word. That's the word for apologetics. Be defensive of the faith. Be ready. Stand fast. Be courageous. Isn't that the reason that you are what you are? See, Gentiles. Who are you, Gentiles? Peter tells you. We heard this morning. Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. Hey, we're talking about you now. Are you a Christian? Hey, that's good words right here. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy, separate nation, a people from His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Is that the reason you are here? Do you like to hear that you are a chosen race? Do you like to hear that you are the apple of the eyes of God? Do you like to hear that God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross, to receive His wrath, so that you could be made His son? A lot of love involved here. But He says here, you are all of that, so that you can proclaim the gospel, proclaim the light that you have received, so that many other people that are in darkness out there can also be brought to light. So can you please, Christian, quit being so selfish? Can you please, Christian, quit thinking that everything is fine the way it is? Thinking like the Christians or Israel in the day of Jeremiah, oh, everything is in peace. Everything is fine. And they say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. This world is filthy. It's nasty. Our kids are facing out there the wrath of God, of Satan. They're having to face things that they're not supposed to. We should hate sin. Hate it with a great hate. There is absolutely no peace. We are in war, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we are in this conflict. And why we are here, as Church of Jesus Christ, we have a promise. When we go forth, when we go against the gates of hell, they are not going to prevail, because Jesus Christ is the conqueror. Not because of us, not because of our strength, not because of our courage, but because of Him that enables us to these things. That's great. And though it's great, the pendulum can go too much to one side. The pendulum can go to, oh yes, I believe in all these things. And there are so many boasting Christians today. There are so many that they believe because they know the truth, because they know better than the rest of the normal human race, that they are better. They think that it comes from them, I guess. They don't realize that it does not come from them. It's the grace of God. That's why the Apostle Peter goes on in chapter 2, verse 10, after saying, well, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, etc. And then verse 10, he reminds us, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, you are not here because of yourself. You do not know the truth because you are a smart man or woman. You do not hold to Jesus. You do not believe in Jesus Christ because you were so bright in your hearts and thinking and thoughts that you discovered by yourself that He was the thing you needed. No. By nature, you would reject Him. By nature, you would spit in His face and put Him to the cross as everybody else. But He loved you. He humbled you. He brought you to Himself. And that should humble you. And that should make you a proclaimer of the gospel in love. See, the Apostle Paul tells in Galatians, speak the truth in love. See, speaking the truth is a good thing. Sometimes it's harsh. Sometimes it's not. You are not going to say what the people want to hear. They need to hear that. Can you please do that in love? Can you please make it a little easier for them to listen to you? Can you please quit with the arrogance sometimes that many Christians have today? The Apostle Paul tells us that if you think that you know something, you don't know the way you ought to know. Isn't that humbling to ourselves? Yes. And therefore, that is one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit that is reminded to us here. Don't forget that you were brought to faith, that you were also a Gentile beforehand. So verse 15, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason to the hope that there is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Love, kindness, other parts of the fruit of the Spirit are very important here. Now let's end this message here, asking the same questions again. Regardless of what they were suffering, yes, they were suffering more than whatever we are. But we still suffer some things, don't we? We still have to go through days and times and atmospheres and circumstances in which we say, hey, that's not fair. I would not like to go through these things. Can you understand the words of Peter here? as the words of the apostle of Jesus Christ, wants you to start understanding things in another perspective. That want you to start to understand that, yes, we are here for a short time, and even if you have to suffer, we are going to do it with joy. With joy. And why? Because he brings you to compare whatever happens to you, even to them, to what happened in that cross. See, when Peter says here, some of them are going to suffer unjustly, sort of. And Peter is going to say that. Sometimes those things are important to build your faith, to, humanly speaking, pay some our debts. Not that we can, because we never can. But many of the sufferings we have to suffer today are consequences of our own sins. Most of them, I would say. But you know, that was not the case with Christ. He had absolutely no untruthness in his mouth. He had never seen something that should not, he was not able to, he should not sin. So, you know, kids, he would never disobey his father and his mother. He had a perfect life. And yes, humanly speaking, there was nothing more unjust than sending that good man, the only good that stepped in this earth, to that death in the cross of Calvary. But the Bible tells us that the most unjust act of history was in fact the most righteous one. Because while he was paying the price of the wrath of God, he was doing that for people like you and me. His wrath was against me. His wrath had me as a target. But my Jesus put himself in front of me so that he could receive the whole wrath of God. And I could be in his shadow to live in this present evil age in a worthy manner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bible Presbyterian Church of Lakeland. Let's put that in our hearts. And let's live the year of 2017 a different life for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Pastor Blizzard, can you pray for us?
Father, we enter a new year.